We're beginning here on Chaf Hey Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah enters us into a sugya, which is really a Shas sugya, a sugya that has many ramifications in terms of halacha. Which is number one, Shluchei Mitzvah Turim Min Asukah. Those that are sent to do a mitzvah, on the way to do a mitzvah, are Turim Min Asukah. Rashi right away says, what are Shluchei Mitzvah? Rashi's definition of who's a shluchei mitzvah is interesting. Number one is kigon lomo Torah. He's going to learn Torah. Ulhakpil bnei rabo, to go visit his rebbe, which is a mitzvah on the yom tov, mitzvah on the regel, to go visit one's rebbe. Vliftot shvuyim, or to go redeem captives. Now, Rashi here is giving a potpourri of mitzvot. Two of mitzvot, the first two mitzvot, lomo Torah and lagvil pnei rabo, are mitzvot that are incumbent upon you. The liftot shvuyim could be something that you're obligated to do, which is true, but it might be that you're an emissary of the community to go be podesh shvuyim. And there are rishonim who believe that when we say shluchei mitzvah, that's literally what you have to be. You have to be a shliach to do a mitzvah. Someone has to have engaged you to go and do a mitzvah on their behalf, whether it's an individual or whether it's a tzibur. Has engaged you to do a mitzvah. That's what shluchei mitzvah are. You see, clearly Rashi does not believe that. Rashi believes shluchei mitzvah is anyone who's engaged in the process or the activity of doing a mitzvah. That mitzvah that requires you to travel to accomplish the mitzvah, whether it's to learn Torah, to visit your Rebbe, which if your Rebbe is not local, you have to travel to get to your Rebbe. So Rashi sees the Torah as more global than simply someone who is sent to do a mitzvah. Even someone who is engaged in a mitzvah is covered by shluchei mitzvah p'turim min asukah. It has implications in other places as well. We've seen it in the Gemara Psachim with regards to bidika. There the Gemara says, with someone who's doing bidika, aren't we afraid of them getting injured or something happening? The Gemara says that shluchei mitzvah ain any zilkin. And then the Gemara says, oh, what about the fact that his neighbor is going to think he's doing kishuv? There the Gemara says, it's too far. Shluchei mitzvah are protective as long as you don't do something that's going to trigger and a reaction. And so you don't stick yourself into a position where there's risk and say shluchei mitzvah einu nizakin. If you take normal risks, then we say shluchei mitzvah einu nizakin. So over there it sounds like he's doing bedika, his own bedika. Although you could argue again over there that the bedika, he sent someone to do the bedika on his behalf and therefore they are a shluchei mitzvah. And it's also mentioned in the Gemara Kedushin with regards to traveling to go to learn. There over there Shmuel says shluchei mitzvah einu nizakin. And then he says, "Ach bechazaratan," even on their way back. They have afforded the same protection on the way and on the way back, because otherwise, obviously, if you're only afforded the protection on the way, nobody's going to go because they can't get back. So you're afforded protection both ways. Again, over there, it sounds like it's the individuals themselves that are going to learn, and that not that they are shluchei mitzvah, but there are rishonim that read it in that more narrow sense. Exactly, the minhag to give people shliach mitzvah money is to make them a shliach mitzvah because shliach mitzvah in izokim. Cholin umisham shehen p'turim min asukah. Those that are sick and those that are attending to the individual sick are p'turim min asukah. That will take us into an area of mitzta'er. Someone who is mitzta'er is p'tur min asukah. We won't get that today. That'll be more in tomorrow's daf. But mitzta'er is p'tur min asukah because it's teshuvu kein taduru. That you have to live in the sukkah the way you would live in your house. And you can't put yourself in a position where you wouldn't have stayed in your house in that situation. Now that, well, I have to get to mitzta'er patur min asukah. There is also a machloket rishonim as to whether mitzta'er patur min asukah means that if you're mitzta'er, if you're in pain and you have to go to the sukkah, you're patur. Or does mitzta'er have to derive from the fact that you're going into the sukkah? The fact that you're going into the sukkah makes the situation worse. And therefore, you're patur min asukah. It's not that simply you're sick, you're patur min asukah. It's if you're sick, and now you go outside, and it's hot in the sukkah, it's cold in the sukkah, and that makes the situation worse, then you're patur min asukah. And so again, you have to look, when we say mitzta'er patur min asukah, you have to look at the way the Rishonim define mitzta'er in those cases. It's simply that you are mitzta'er, or is your mitzta'er machmat asukah that causes the tur min asukah? And then, uchlim v'shotim arai chutz l'sukah, the third sugya, which we won't get to again today, which is that you can eat and drink, not a sudak kavua, snacks, outside of the sukkah. Now the Rashi says something here, which is important. He says that those that are p'turim in a sukkah here, the shluchei mitzvah, are afilu b'shat chaniyatan. Even when they're stopping over, even when they're resting at night, they're p'turim in a sukkah. Tosafot already takes up this issue, and it's not such a simple issue. He says, wait a minute. What does that mean, that they're patur min asukah? He raises this everywhere in Shas, that the Gemara talks about what's called pruta de Rav Yosef, Fruta de Rav Yosef is the benefit that you get from being a Shomer Aveda. When you're watching someone else's lost object, and the Gemara says, if while you're watching his object, somebody comes and knocks on the door, then you're patur, you do not have to give the tzedakah to that individual. So Tosafot says, oh, wow. Every time you're involved in a mitzvah, then you're patur min a mitzvah. So that means that this guy holding on to this Aveda for 3 years, he doesn't have to give tzedakah for the next 3 years. And he goes, what about mezuzah al dalto? It's a mezuzah on his door. He's wearing tzitzit. He doesn't have to do any mitzvot besides that. Is that really what we mean here? So Tosafot says here that the only time that we say osek mitzvah, potter mitzvah, is when it's efshar lekayem shnehem. That's when you can't accomplish both of them simultaneously. It says the tour by a shomer aveda is only when he's engaged in the aveda. He's feeding the animal. He's shaking out the shirt. He's doing something to help the aveda where he is actively engaged in it. So if you accomplish a mitzvah like tzitzit, where you don't have to do anything for that, you're not patur min a mitzvah, because you can wear tzitzit and give tzedakah at the same time. One does not inhibit the other. So the patur, according to Tosafot, is e efshar lekayem shneihem. If it's impossible to do both of them, then you're patur from the other mitzvah. But if you can accomplish both mitzvot, there is no patur of osek b'mitzvah, patur min a mitzvah. So he raises that question over here. They're traveling to go see their Rebbe. They're traveling to be Podesh William to learn Torah. At nighttime, they're not traveling. So why can't they go and sleep in a sukkah at night? What's the reason that they're patur min a mitzvah? So Tosafot in the end concludes it must be, tzarech lemor, dahachi nami ari b'chi ha'gavna di mitarje b'kiyum mitzvah sukkah havi mevatle mitzvot. You have to argue that going to sleep in the sukkah at night will somehow inhibit them or cause them difficulty in mimikayim the mitzvah. Whether it means it slows them down, they don't sleep, and then they can't go in the morning. Whatever the reason is, it has to be something that would inhibit your ability to accomplish the other mitzvah. If it simply means that you're traveling, so I'm patur min a sukkah, that's not true. You're not automatically patur min a sukkah. You're only patur from a sukkah when it inhibits your ability to accomplish the mitzvah that you're engaged in already. Alright, we'll talk about, in a second, we'll talk about other Rishonim that have a different view than Tosafot, but we have to do a little bit of the Gemara to get introduced to the sugya of chomzik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, and then we'll come back and discuss it more deeply. Where do we know that osik mitzvah potur min a mitzvah? The Tan Rabbanan, Pasuk says, by Kriyat Shema, b'shiftecha b'veitecha, shiftecha b'veitecha is prat losek b'mitzvah. Only when you're sitting in your house, not when you're engaged in a mitzvah. Uvelechtecha b'derech, when you're on your way, prat l'chatan. That comes to exclude a chatan. Mikan amru. From here they said, nekoneset abtula, one who marries a woman who has not been married before, is potur. Bet hamana, if he marries a widow, chayav, then he is obligated in Kriyat Shema. My mashma. How do you know this from the psukim that we just read? Where does b'shiftu b'lo b'veitecho uvelechtecha b'derech teach you the two dinim that we just learned? We learned one din, which is, number one, you are engaged in a mitzvah, you're patur. Number two is chatan. A chatan is patur. As Rashi explains over here, they are two different issues. One issue is ha'osek b'mitzvah, you're actively involved, physically actively involved in a mitzvah. That mitzvah is poter you from Kriyat Shema. Chatan, as Rashi says, you would have thought that a chatan is not patur min ha'mitzvot if he had not had a specific pasuk for chatan. How is chatan different than any other osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah? We're going to see in a second that the problem with the chatan is not the mitzvah itself, it's the tirda. It's the fear of doing the mitzvah properly, and the nervousness, anxiety about the mitzvah that's at hand. And because of that, he has what we call as an intangible problem of osek b'mitzvah. He's unable to concentrate, he's unable to focus, and to put his energies towards the mitzvah because his mind and his energies are somewhere else. Now, he could be sitting on a chair doing nothing. So he's not osek b'mitzvah in the classic sense of doing or actively involved in a mitzvah. It's simply his mind is somewhere else. And that's what Rashi says. The reason we need a separate pasuk for this is because we have chad for torech voseh melechet mitzvah b'yadayim o mehalech b'mitzvah. That's one patur. The seventh patur is aval chatan shiyoshev ubatel ve'eno oseg elotarid b'machshavat bi'ila lo patur akutuf. Maybe you would have thought there a chatan was not oseg in the mitzvah but just tarud b'mitzvah. There you wouldn't have an exemption. Mashmalon, that's why you have a second pasuk to teach you that din, that he is also patur. So Rashi divides up and says there actually are two different turim with regards to mitzvah. There's osik b'mitzvah, and then there's tirdata mitzvah. So he has this two-tiered tour, and you have to look at anything that you're engaged in, whether it fits into one of those two categories. The Rambam, it seems, if you look at the Rambam seems to say there's only one category. And he calls this, when you have a tour from Kriyat Shema, he calls it Tirda, that's engaged in a mitzvah, and he has this single tour. He doesn't divide like Rashi into two different turim. And so the Rambam sees it as a single tour rather than this dual track that Rashi introduces. Right now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, I want to explain to you what the drush is. Kederach, just like when you're on your way. Ma derach reshut, just like when you're traveling, that's optional, that's something you do on your own volition. Avkol reshut, so too, when you're doing things that are for your own volition, then you say Kriyat Shema. Otherwise, lafuke, hai debe mitzvah asuk. To exclude someone who's engaged in a mitzvah. Right, it says, how'd you ever get that drush? Milo askina de ka'azul dvar mitzvah? Oh, it says it, balakta derach, you're traveling. You can be traveling for, on your own volition, for your own benefit, or you can be traveling for a mitzvah. The Torah is not defining, incorporates any travel. And so travel could include even traveling for a mitzvah. So how do you ever get the conclusion that you just said? V'kama rachmona likrei. And the Torah says, when you're lechtecha b'derech, you read Kriyat Shema, even though maybe you're on your way to do a mitzvah. So Gemara says, imkein limakra b'shevet u'belechet. Now, the Torah uses the possessive form to teach this. It's not just b'shevet u'belechet, but rather, my b'shifticha u'belechtecha. When you are sitting and when you are going, belechet didcha hu demichayevet, when you're going on your way, then you're chayav. Your way meaning for your benefit, for your purposes, then you're chayav. But, habelechet de mitzvah, if you're traveling for a mitzvah, then you're ptirat, then you don't have to do the mitzvah because it's only belechetcha. When it's your way, when it's you traveling for your benefit, that's when you do it. And the same thing, b'shifticha. It's b'shevet didach. When it's your sinning, when it's your being in your house, that's when you say Kriyat Shema. Aval shevet of the mitzvah, then you don't have to do the mitzvah, you don't have to do Kriyat Shema. Just to know that the drasha is reversed in Gemara and Brachot, it probably makes more sense that way. That belechtecha b'derech should be referencing to osek in mitzvot, and b'shivtecha b'veitecha should be referencing the chatan. Especially the way that Rashi is defining it, that the chatan's problem is not that he's engaged, but simply that he's sitting there and he's with tirda, so it makes more sense. And that belechtecha b'derech involves activity, and that's the tour by the other mitzvot. Gemara says, Ihachi, oh, that's the case. Afilu koneset almana, nami. Why is only marrying a betula covered by this tour? Even marrying a widow should be covered by this tour. He is doing a mitzvah. If he's doing a mitzvah, not tor, but he's doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah should be poterim. Gemara says, koneset betula tarid, koneset almana lo tarid. When one marries a betula, he is tarud. He has this anxiety, he has this anticipation, this nervousness that bogs him down. And that's why he has this. Koneset almana lo tarid. When he's marrying an almana, does not have those feelings or those same feelings. Gemara says, okay, well, if you're taking this path, the whole hecha de tarid, achanami de potor, is tir da then the tour over here? Being bogged down, being weighed down by whatever thoughts or anxieties, is that enough to be poteru? Then, elomiato, tavas finato bayam, his boat just sunk in the ocean. He had just had all of his merchandise on that boat and went down. Or he's on the boat and it's going down and he just survived, jumped off at the last second. The tarid, over there he's definitely bogged down, he has anxiety, he just lost all this stuff on the boat, this merchandise on the boat, he's definitely tarid. Hachanami de patur, so then maybe you shouldn't say Kriyat Shema. B'chi teima hachanami. And you say, yeah, you know what? Maybe. You're right, that's right. V'amar Rabbi Ava bar Zavta, Amar Rav, Avel, chayav b'chol ha-mitzvot amurot b'torah. And Avel is obligated to keep all the mitzvot of Torah, chutz min ha-tfilin, with the exception of tfilin. Sh'arneimar behen pe'er, because by them it says pe'er. So we'll get back to that in a second. The Gemara is going to deal with that drasha in a second. So here you see that number one, tirda is not enough, and Avel is bitirda. And Avel has tirda, which is that he's bogged down with his thoughts, with the loss that he's just experienced, the suffering that he's engaged in. And so, why isn't he patur min mitzvot? We see that the Avel is completely chayav in mitzvot. So tirda by itself is not enough to be poter you from the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, hocha tarid tirda de mitzvah, hatam tarid tirda de reshut. There's a tirda of mitzvah. If what's bogging you down and weighing you down is the engagement in a mitzvah, that tirda is enough to make you patur from the mitzvah. If it's simply tirda, then we don't give you that patur min a mitzvah. And you're actually, as the way the Rishonim say it, chayav lituve date. You have to calm yourself down. You have to take control of your emotions, and you have to get yourself to the point where you can do the mitzvah. That's your obligation to control your emotions in that case. Now what's interesting is that the tirda, or the tsar that's involved in avel, the Gemara calls that a tirda de reshut. That's an anxiety that's being weighed down by something that is optional. As Rashi explains over here, it's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, "Tirda de reshut she'afal pishu chayav nihog avelut." Aren't you obligated to keep avelut? Aren't you obligated in nilata sandal, not to wear shoes, rechitza, sicha, all these things that are involved in avelut, which are seem to be that the Torah or is telling you, or whether it's the Rabbanan are telling you, that you have to act like an avel. If you have to act like an avel, it sounds like we are condoning the ability of the individual to be engaged in avelut and to be in the pain of avelut. Rashi says, "Barot kvod meito." All of this is to show the kvod meit ve'enu chayav litzter. You don't have to be in pain. You don't have to be. This is not a display or demonstration of your pain, but rather you are faced vis-a-vis the public. In your face vis-a-vis the public, you have to show that this meit meant something. And since this mate meant something, you have to demonstrate that by the activities. So that's why it's almost a public display of the avelut. As heard from Rav Meir Lichtenstein, he thinks that the avelut, the whole reason of avelut by the regel is inappropriate. It's not because avelut and the regel necessarily are inconsistent or incompatible, but the whole point of sitting shiva and having avelut is the way that you present yourself to the public. The whole idea is that the public comes to visit you. And so there, if you're making a public display of avelut, that's what's inconsistent with the regel. The regel is a time of public simcha, and for you to make a public demonstration of avelut would be inappropriate on the regel. That's why, according to the Rishonei Ashkenaz, on the regel, even though you're patur mi avelut, the dinim tzitzina, you are chayav. The Rambam believes that you're patur gamrei, meaning that you can't do anything in avelut. But in the Rishonei Ashkenaz, Tosafot believe that you do minhagei avelut bitzina, not bifarhesia. Exactly this concept, that you're allowed to have the nihuge avelut, but you just can't do that klape the ichud to the public. So for you also, what's the whole point of the avelut? Is larot kivodo of the mate. This goes against Rav Soloveitchik has a very well-known idea in avelut, which is that the avelut involves two aspects to it. There are the nihuge avelut, the maase avelut, and then there's the kiyum avelut. A number of mitzvot that Rav Soloveitchik itself broke down into two parts, which is a maaseh mitzvah and a kiyumah mitzvah. And he says that over here by avelut, that there's a maaseh mitzvah, which is the nihugei avelut, and there's a kiyumah avelut, which is the feelings of the avel. It has to do with the tzar and the difficulty that he experiences. Rashi clearly here says that that's not the case. Enu chayav leads there. You do not have to be in pain. You do not have to disseminate pain. I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, so I quoted in his name, by the tsar of the avel, there's two different types of tsar that an avel can have. There's tsar, which is the tsar of loss. That the individual was lost. As far as that's concerned, that is tsar of reshut. That's a difficult, that it's a reshut, a tsar that you have to overcome, that we demand that you be tuve date, that you have to settle yourself down and do the mitzvot. Because that's not the real tsar. He says the real tsar, the real difficulty, is the loss of the individual. The loss of the individual is that they no longer can do mitzvot. That the death of the individual now cuts them off from the ability and the world of doing mitzvot. And he quotes over there, the story from the Gra about the difficulty of dying is not the death itself, but the death is, I can no longer hear, I can pick up mitzvot for a pruta, I can put a tzitzit, I can do things intermittently. From the point of death, that's all done. Can't do that anymore. And so the real avirut and the real tsar is that the individual themselves cannot perform mitzvot. But now for the avel as well, is for instance, if it's a child, they can no longer be mekayim kibud avim. They can't do a mitzvah kibud avim. That mitzvah has now been taken away from them because of the loss of the parent. So that's, he says, is the loss, the tsar that you're allowed to feel. The tsar is that loss of mitzvot. The tsar that is a reshut is the pain of the loss of the individual, meaning that the human element or the emotional element of it, that is what we call reshut. So he says that we're demanded to overcome. The other tsar, which is the tsar of losing out on the mitzvot, then that would be incompatible with not saying Kriyat Shema. I mean, that if you worried about losing mitzvot, and they say, I can't say Kriyat Shema, I'm worried, I lost my kibud avim here, right? That's incompatible. The whole pain that you have is that you can no longer do mitzvot, or that you can't do mitzvot, then not doing a mitzvah would not be the proper response to such a pain. And that's why that type of pain, where there is a mitzvah to have the pain, then you can still say Kriyat Shema because they're not incompatible. That might bring a balance towards the what the Rav said versus what Rashi is saying over here. Although again, the Rav said it in an emotional sense, and Rashi seems clearly to say that that isn't the case over here.
Is the fact of it
okay, so what you're suggesting might be a solution to the problem, which is that this tirda de mitzvah might be something more. It's not simply tirda in the form of tsar, anxiety. Rashi over here says, it's a very interesting comment, just throws it at the end about chatan tarid tirda de mitzvah. He says that, b'tein bilibo liot bakiba davar. You have to concentrate, because he wants to do it the right way and the best way. So that might narrow the scope of tirda, that even if you say that tirda davel is tsar, but over there, the tsar is not about perfecting the kiyum of elud. So by the chatan, it is, and that's why he is, I guess, a ptur. By other mitzvot, you might not have that tirda, because the tirda has to be, well, it seems to be fully encompassing. And number two is, it has to be a tirda where it's about the mitzvah itself. A tirda of the mitzvah, of accomplishing the mitzvah, and that it's an anxiety about doing the mitzvah. So that is what Rashi seems to indicate over here. It's an interesting line that he says, it's in the building of bakiba davar that he throws in, which might corroborate what you are saying. All right, so now, you have two approaches in the Rishonim. We read Tosafot, two approaches in the Rishonim to deal with Posek Mitzvah, Pator Mina Mitzvah. So, obviously, I mean, in one sense, it's obvious that a person's engaged in a mitzvah that he's Pator from another mitzvah. People can't do two things at once. Tosafot already tells us that Tzitzit, Tefillin don't help you out. Tosafot's only time when he thinks Posek Mitzvah, Pator Mitzvah is when you're engaged in the mitzvah. So it's obvious that if you're engaged in a mitzvah, you can't do the other mitzvah. So the Ritva here on the spot brings down a number of reasons. One of them is what Roni suggests over here, which is hierarchy. That you would have thought, and we're going to get to that in the Gemara a little bit, less, maybe you have to rank mitzvot. But you have a choice of osu mitzvah, pater mitzvah. Maybe that's only when you're involved in a more chamur mitzvah. But if a lighter mitzvah you're involved with, and then a more chamur mitzvah comes up, maybe you have to drop the lighter mitzvah and then get engaged with the more chamur mitzvah. So that's what he says. Here's the chiddush, is that you don't. That it's a osu mitzvah. Patur mina mitzvah, once you're engaged in the mitzvah, then you do not have to get engaged in the other mitzvah, the one that is more chamur. That's one. Number two is, you would have thought maybe that osik min mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, that you can stop. You can stop the mitzvah, then do the other mitzvah, and then come back and do this mitzvah. Are you obligated to do that? To stop your mitzvah and come back to the other mitzvah, as long as you can accomplish both of them? Maybe you should stop in the middle. So over here, it indicates, no, that you don't stop in the mitzvah, you complete the mitzvah you're doing, then you go to the other mitzvah. Assuming that you can accomplish both of them, we're not going to tell you to terminate or stop the mitzvah that you're involved in. So the Ritva brings a couple of themes along these lines that there is a reason to have the limud that wouldn't just be logical. But the Ran, the Or Zeruah, take a different approach. The Ran and the Or Zeruah say that if you're osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. Patur mina mitzvah means you're patur. Doesn't matter. Whatever mitzvah you're doing, you're patur from another mitzvah. So what about tzitzit? What about mezuzah in your house? As Fred's saying, wait, that's Tosafot's question. What do they, as a rule, what do the Ran do with it? They narrow the scope of osik mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. And they say that is, osik mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah is exactly that. Osik mitzvah. When you're osik mitzvah, then you're patur mina mitzvah. If you're simply being mekayim a mitzvah, then a kiyum a mitzvah is not a patur. And that might be exactly their machloket, meaning that they say that it's about osik b'mitzvah, that's what grants you the patur. If you're just being mekayim a mitzvah, then you're not patur. So Roni says, okay, now you got back to the same place. Basically what the Rhinos are do is they narrow what the meaning of osik b'mitzvah is. And Tosafot just says that maybe osik mitzvah has a broad definition, but it's only when you're osik where ayyav shad kayim shneihem. What the difference might be between them, and this is a very important distinction, is what is your relationship with the mitzvah that you're foregoing? So Tosafot says it's only b'yiv shari kayim shtehem, when it's impossible to accomplish both of them. That's when it's true. According to the Ran and the Or Zeruah, it's not about yiv shari kayim shtehem, it's even when yiv shari kayim shtehem, when you're osik b'mitzvah, you are granted a tour from the other mitzvah. That means, what happens if you go ahead and do it voluntarily? So according to Tosafot, both mitzvot still stand. It's just a question of practicality that you can't do both mitzvot. So I'm engaged in one. So most of the mitzvah, I don't have to go and switch over to the other one. What happens if you do? If you switch over to the other mitzvah, are you then mekayim the mitzvah, number one? And number two is, did you do an isur by leaving the mitzvah that you're in? So according to Tosafot, it seems that it's not so much this way because you have osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah is simply a deferral. You're absolved of the other mitzvah because you simply can't accomplish it. But if you decide you're going to do it, then maybe you will be mekayim the mitzvah. If you go and do it, have you done an iser? Maybe, maybe not. This is just a dispensation. It's not maybe an obligation. The way the Ran and the Or Zeruah view it, osik b'mitzvah is an absolute obligation. The other mitzvah is as if it doesn't exist anymore. The other mitzvah is gone. It's osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. That's the whole chiddush here. The whole chiddush of osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah means the other mitzvah is gone. The other mitzvah is as if it doesn't exist. And if you voluntarily do it, maybe there is no mitzvah anymore. It might not be there, the mitzvah, and you might be violating an iser because you're leaving the mitzvah that you're engaged in. The other mitzvah doesn't exist. The other mitzvah becomes a reshut now, rather than simply a mitzvah.
You can't do shnei hands.
Very good. So that's a question. According to Tosafot, it sounds like if there's a competition and you can accomplish both of them, you do stop and you accomplish both of them. It's brought down, Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah bring down with regards to a person who's engaged in Tzorchei Tzibur, who's patur mikriyat shema. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say you do not have to stop the Tzorchei Tzibur and say kriyat shema. Even though you could stop, do kriyat shema, and then go back to them, you're not obligated to do it. And there, the Mishnah Berurah says they're passing like the Ran and the Or Zeruah. Telling you that if it was Tosafot, that you would have to stop. And that's exactly the difference between them. Tosafot says it's duchuya. Mitzvot are duchuyot with regards to osik mitzvah, patur mitzvah. The way the Ran and the Or Zeruah view it, it's a hutra din, and that you don't have to stop, you don't have to re-engage in the mitzvot. So that's a big difference between the way that you approach this. Even though in the end they seem to be saying the same thing, there are differences in the way they're defining the tour here of osik b'mitzvah. And that's the way that they say the chiddush is. Otherwise I know, of course that they're competing mitzvah with your patur min mitzvah. It's, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that the other mitzvah is gone. It's out. You don't even have to engage in that mitzvah whatsoever. And maybe, if you engage in that mitzvah, you're not doing the mitzvah. It might be that the mitzvah is gone. Right. So you might get it as a mitzvah v'voseh. Right. That the achronim deal with. Is it any mitzvah v'voseh or is it gone the gamre? And so if you engage in that, maybe you don't get the tour of osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah anymore. Because you're not osik b'mitzvah anymore. You're osik v'reshut. So those are achronim play around with those ideas. Okay. So that's another thing. When the tour, according to most, lasts only while you're engaged in the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is done, then your tour is gone. That may not be true because the Taz in Yoredeya quotes from the Drisha, and the Drisha says that an osik b'mitzvah, patur mitzvah is the same as an onein. Now, with regards to onein, we've discussed this in the past, that when someone is patur min mitzvah by onein, the question is, for instance, Motzei Shabbat, person's an onein, and he misses Havdalah. Havdalah, you can say all day Sunday, according to some, all the way till Tuesday. Right, Zechuya Hutra. By onein, there's a machloket there, the Rosh brings it down, it's machloket between him and his Rebbe, the Ramarami Rutenberg. About whether when we say that onein is patur min mitzvot, what does that mean? That the Havdalah afterwards, do you make up the Havdalah or not? I mean, were you patur at the ikar time of Havdalah, and therefore you can't make up Havdalah because Havdalah is just tashlumim afterwards, and you weren't chayav at the ikar time? Or do we say, no, that you were given exemption at this time, but you do the mitzvah later? But the fact that the preacher connects osik mitzvah, patur mitzvah to onein, he seems to be saying that it's an exemption, that you never have to go back and do the mitzvah. The exemption takes you away from the mitzvah. Tur, the Taz disagrees. It says that is not the way we look at it. It's not it's a tour at that time. You finish the mitzvah, the tour dissipates, and now you gotta deal with the other mitzvah. It's exactly this machloket. Daf al daf, I saw that he brought, maybe that's the connection between these two machloket. It might be the same machloket as the Ran, the Or Zeruah, and Tosafot. Is the tour a hotra tour, or is the tour a duchuya tour? And that might be exactly the machloket between the Drisha and the Taz. The Drisha is saying you're done. Patur min mitzvah means gone. Mitzvah's gone. You don't get engaged with that mitzvah again. Once the tour has been engaged, the other mitzvah's gone. You don't have to come back to it. On the other hand, the Taz is saying no. If the tour lasts as long as you're engaged in the mitzvah stops, then you got to get involved with the other mitzvah and you're obligated to do the other mitzvah. So exactly along those lines of your question, that's the same machloket we find between the Taz and the Drisha. I just mentioned as an aside, I won't get into it, but there are three other little topics that are taken up by some by the Steichemed, others by the Hartzvi, and then Rav Elchanan Wasserman. In Kobet Shiurim, they ask these questions. Number one, mitzvah derabonon. If you're engaged in a mitzvah derabonon, do you have osik mitzvah, patur mitzvah, even for a mitzvah doraita? That's one question. Another question is suffik mitzvah. If you're engaged in a suffik mitzvah, does that afford you the same tour as engaged in a mitzvah? Do you say suffik mitzvah doraita, and therefore if it's doraita, then it is a mitzvah, it's enough to give you the tour? Or we say because it's a suffik mitzvah, it doesn't grant you that tour? So that's another one. And if you voluntarily engage yourself in a mitzvah, you have a mitzvah to say that you engage yourself in. You didn't have to engage yourself in the mitzvah, but you did engage yourself in the mitzvah. Does that still afford you the same din of osik mitzvah, patur mitzvah? So those are three ancillary items that are also questions that have to be answered in this context of osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. All right, that's in the Makorot. You can look through it, but those are also branches of the same discussion. Right now the Gemara says, wait a minute, Osek b'mitzvah, Pater b'mitzvah, Mehocha nafka? You learned that from the Pasuk in Vahavta and Kriyat Shema? Mehotam nafka, we have it from here, the Tanya. V'yanashim asher yu tmeim lenefesh adam. This is with regards to Pesach Sheni. There were people who were tamei nefesh, they couldn't perform Pesach Sheni. Otam anashim mihayu. Who are these people that are tamei meit in the midbar and can't do the Korban of Pesach? These are the pallbearers for Yosef's Aron. Moshe took Atzmot Yosef, and somebody had to carry Atzmot Yosef through the midbar. So since they're engaged with the mate, they are Atzmei Meitim. So that's what the problem was. Rabbi Kiva, Meir, Mishael, Vel, Tzafan, Ayu. It was Mishael and Tzafan, the cousins of Nadav and Aviyu. Shoskim, but Nadav and Aviyu. They took care of Nadav and Aviyu, and they took care of the mate mitzvah. Rabbi Yitzchak, Meir, Im no se Aron, Shal Yosef, Ayu, Kvar, Ayu, Yechulim, Iter. Im Mishael, Vel, Tzafan, Ayu, Yechulim, Ayu, Iter. Wait a minute. Either one of those does not give you an exemption over here. Nadav and Aviyu die on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Pesach is 14 days later. If that was the issue, they took care of them. They had plenty of time to become Tahor. They're certainly not the reason that they are Tamei. Number one, you could argue, by the way, the Ibn Ezra on the Torah says that it's day day. A day means not Rosh Chodesh, like almost all the Rishonim believe that the Yom HaShmini is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the Ibn Ezra himself believes it's the seventh or eighth day of Nisan. And therefore, you would have the problem. So obviously, those that say Rabbi Akiva was saying it believes that it had to be later. Otherwise, the question is a strong question against him. Now, with regards to Aron Shel Yosef, he says, wait a minute. That can't be the case because they've been at Har Sinai. They're there for already 10 months. They haven't been traveling. They haven't traveled forever. And they're not going to travel until into ER, like the 20th of ER, this next time they're going to travel. So he says, that doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yitzchak says, what was the case? It was Eloskim b'meit mitzvah dayu. They were engaged in a mate mitzvah. Now, the definition of mate mitzvah here is not that somebody died suddenly on them, but mate mitzvah means someone you're obligated to take care of. A person, a karov, one of the seven krovim that you're obligated to take care of. So that's oskim b'mate mitzvah, hayu, shechal shvi shalem liot b'erev Pesach. That their seventh day fell out on b'erev Pesach. They almost got there, but it was seventh day was erev Pesach. Okay, so fine, but that night, when they beat the korban Pesach, they're going to be tahor. So this is according to the opinion that says that on a Tamei Sheretz, we don't bring a Korban Pesach on a Tamei Sheretz, Erev Pesach. Shenemar, how do I know that it was Erev Pesach, was their seventh day? Because it says, Lo yachul lasot haPesach b'yom ahu. They couldn't do the Pesach on that day. B'yom ahu, en yocholim lasot, halamachar yocholim lasot. It was only on that day it was problematic. By the next day, they would have been fine. By that night, they would have been fine. So we know it's their seventh day is on Erev Pesach itself. And this is according to that opinion who says you can't bring a Korban Pesach when you're Tamei, even if you're going to be Tahor that night. So now the Gemara says Tzricha. We need both sources. Diash minan hotam. If you only told me the case over there, Mishum delo mata zman chiyuva de Pesach. By Pesach, the decision is an upfront decision. I have to make a decision now. Do I become Tamei? Or do I do the Korban at Pesach? So I am yet to be engaged in a mitzvah. I'm looking out and I'm saying, I have a mitzvah in front of me to do right now. And I have a mitzvah that's coming up. If I engage in the mitzvah that's in front of me now, I'm going to preclude myself from doing the other mitzvah. So I have a choice now. I can either wait with the mate, and then do my Pesach, and then do the mate, and I'll get both of them in. So if I just defer bearing the mate, I can do both. Or I engage in the mate immediately, and now I'm out on the Pesach. So which do you do? That's the answer is, you become Tamei mate. So that if you have to make a decision now that will preclude you from doing a mitzvah in the future, we say, do the mitzvah now. Don't wait for the other mitzvah. That is part of Osek b'mitzvah. Part of a mitzvah is that you can make a decision now that will hurt your ability to do a mitzvah later. And now, even though that mitzvah is a very chamor mitzvah, which we're going to see in a second, Pesach is a chiyuv karet. Despite the fact we allow you to engage in the tumah and knock yourself out of doing the korban of Pesach. Avahocha, demat zman kriyat shema, emelo. But over here, by kriyat shema, was a case where you're already chayav in kriyat shema. And then we're telling you, oh, the chatan, all of a sudden he gets married, and now he wants to be patur mikriyat shema. Can you have a patur mikriyat shema once the obligation already devolved upon you? And the answer is yes. You haven't started the mitzvah yet. So this is very important. The patur of osek mitzvah by the mitzvah is only once you've engaged in the mitzvah. Even though the zman has come, but only once you've engaged the mitzvah are you granted the patur. So here, he got married after zman kriyat shema. He's patur, despite the fact that the zman kriyat shema preceded he's getting into this state, or this tizzy of tirda. So that still is a tour. So that's why we need tzricha. Maybe that's only true when you're dealing with mitzvot that are lighter mitzvot. Involved the karet, emelo, tzricha. Therefore we need both of them. We need both of them. One, to teach us that even before you're engaged in the mitzvah, you can make a decision that ruins the mitzvah for you. And even if you are engaged in the mitzvah, you can still get a tour. And number two is that we don't look at the weight of the mitzvot. We make a decision. You get engaged in the mitzvah without regard to the weight of the mitzvot. Now, Gufa, Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavd, Amar Rav, Avel chayav b'chol mitzvot, amurot b'torah chutz mitfilin. Avel is chayav in all mitzvot of the Torah, except for tefillin. Sharei ne'emahen pe'er. Because by tefillin it says pe'er. Mida amar lei rachmona l'yechezkel. The Torah says to Yechezkel, pe'ercha chavush alecha, that you keep your pe'er, you keep wearing it. Atu d'machayevet. You're obligated to keep your pe'er, abal kuliyama p'tirei. Everybody else is patur. Now pe'er is the crown. Are you able to keep your crown? That is, a lot of the Mefarshim explained that when we say the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'tip Ara, that's a reference to tefillin. That's the pe'er. The pe'er, the crown of the Jew, is his tefillin shel rosh. So when you say the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'tip Ara, that's referencing tefillin. And therefore, some people on Tisha B'Av do not say that bracha in the morning. They only say that bracha at mincha time after they put on tefillin, because Oter Yisrael B'tip Ara is referencing the tefillin. Others, like the Taz, believe it's talking about a head covering and not about tefillin, and that has its own ramifications. Vayechezkel, the Navi comes along, Hashem says to him, listen, I'm going to take machmarei necha, I'm going to take something that's very dear to you, and then you're not going to be allowed to be an avel. You're going to walk around as if nothing happened. So therefore, you're not going to engage in all the normal processes that an avel is engaged in. And so one of those items is be'ercha chavush alecha, that you're going to remain with your crown on, implying that an avel normally would not do that. And so that's what we learn from Yechezkel. Now it turns out there that it says hanik dom, that he has to be silent, which is one of the minhagei avelut, and Tosfot tries to reconcile and deal with that, which is, well, if it's something that is normal for an avel to do, and then Yechezkel is told to do it, then we assume that's a niyug avelut. If it's something that seems to be counterintuitive to an avel, then Yechezkel is being asked to do it because that's what an avel normally does. So sometimes we'll learn the opposite of what Yechezkel is doing, and sometimes we're going to do exactly what Yechezkel does. You have to look at what it is that he's engaged in or not engaged in to know that. But here we see be'ercha chavush alecha, therefore, you do not wear tefillin. The way that Rashi says it, she mitpa'er ma'er be'atzmo she'enu avel. Rashi says here, if you are mitpa'er, if you go out in this way, it's a demonstration that is incompatible with being an avel. An avel has a certain look, a disheveled look, a look that is demonstrating, like Rashi says before, to the public, that he is an avel, that he is doing this like vodamate. So here, when he puts on his tefillin and puts on his crown, it's as if he is negating the condition that he's in. And that's the way that I think Rav Soloveitchik also describes the Isra of tefillin. Isra and tefillin is not a problem in Avelut. It's not an incompatibility where we say Simcha and Avelut don't come together. The problem here is not Simcha in terms of putting on the tefillin. The problem here is the appearance of the contradiction in the presentation of an avel versus the presentation with tefillin on. Presentation with tefillin on is a pe'er, is a crown, is something of someone of royalty, and someone without an avel is the exact opposite of that. And so the two are incompatible, and that's why one is patur mi tefillin, not because they are avelut, and there's tsar, and there's a difficulty, and that gives them patur. The patur here is simply from the appearance of the avel, the incompatibility between the appearance of an avel versus the appearance of the pe'er. And that's what Rashi describes on the Amud Aleph over here. Right now, the Gemara says, "V'hani mile b'yom rishon." That's only true on the first day. Dichtiv achritak yomar, because here achritak yomar means that the first day of Avilut is the most difficult, is the one that is tsar, is in its greatest form, and therefore you get the tour, you're granted that tour. There's a major machlok rishon, we won't deal with it here, but in Moed Katan is one of the Gaonim as well, as to whether the first day of Avelut is Deoraita, based on Vachrita B'Yomar, whether the first day of Avelut is Minat Torah, and the remainder is Derabanan, or all of it, Avelut is Derabanan, and the only thing that might be Deoraita is Aninut, the Onein, and that's what might be the reference over here, of Vachrita B'Yomar, might be referencing Aninut, and not Avelut. Right, so now the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Avar B'Zavdan Rav, Avel Chaya B'Sukkah. And Avel has to keep the mitzvah of Sukkah. Pshita, of course. Someone who's in pain is patur min hasukkah. Hai nami mitztaerhu. He's also in pain. So maybe he should be patur min hasukkah, kamash malon. That's not true. Ani mili tzara de memeilo. Avahocha yuhu deka mitztaer nafshei. That's when the tzara comes from an external force. But over here, he's the one who is causing himself the pain. We obligate him to settle his mind. We tell him, get your act together. We say, hold your emotions in check. You can be able to do the mitzvah. And the way Rashi says it, Tzara de Memela, that's what I said to you before, is a Machloket Rishonim. He says, Ashasuka mitzarato. The sukkah is what's causing you the tzar. In that the sukkah itself is, and Rashi says, Kol chama utzina usir cham derin. It's the environment of being in the sukkah that causes the problem. That's when you're potur min sukkah. It's not simply because you are in pain. Now, a case of Avel, it's because you have to override the pain. But in other cases where you can't, when you're a choler or something like that, then you can't override the pain. Just because you're in pain is not a tour for a sukkah. It's only that by being in the sukkah, the pain will be exacerbated, then it'll be a problem. Otherwise, you're not patur min a sukkah. That's why Rashi reads. Other Rishonim say no. If you're in pain, as long as the pain is something that you're not obligated to overcome, then that pain is enough to be patur min a sukkah, even if it's not directly related to the sukkah itself. Amar Rabbi Amar Bazavdo, Amar Rav, Chatan Vashush Binim, Chol Bnei Achupa Pturim min a sukkah. Chatan, the Shushbinim, the Chol Bnei Achupa, everybody celebrating him, are patur min sukkah, kol shiva, all 7 days. My time, huh? Shum debai, the mechte. So they have to celebrate. So Gemara says, v'lichlu besukkah, v'lechtu besukkah. Let them eat in the sukkah and celebrate in the sukkah. Ein simcha ela bechupa. It's only simcha in the chupa. The chupa here is not like our canopy chupa, even though that's what it represents, our chupa. Chupa here means the house, the new house of the chatan and kala, the newly married couple's place of living. That's the chupa. So Gemara says, okay, v'lichlu besukkah, they'll eat in the sukkah, v'lechtu bechupa, and they'll celebrate in the chupa. Gemara says, ein simcha ela makom suda. Simcha is coordinated or correlated with eating. The simcha is a derivative of the suda. If that's the case, you need to have the suda in the place where you're gonna celebrate. So Gemara says, v'abdu chupa besukkah. Make the sukkah the chupa. Instead of making it where he's gonna go to live afterwards, make the sukkah itself the chupa. V'ayamar mishum yichud. We have a problem of yichud. Rav amar mishum tzar chatan. We have a problem here. Rashi says, mishum yichud is maybe the way they had their sukkah were on the roofs. And therefore, if the chatan has to, for whatever reason, leave the sukkah to go downstairs to do something in the house, it's possible that one of the shushpanim or somebody we are left alone with the kala, and that's a problem of yichud. So we don't want to do it in a sukkah where there's not a lot of traffic, not a lot of people going by. Rova says, mishum tzar. It's a problem for the chatan. The chatan, Rashi says, wants to ubosh l'sachekim kalato. He wants to be playful. He wants to be engaging with his kala. And here, when he's in the sukkah, it's not a private, it's not a closed area. It's open on one side. As Rashi says, only 3 walls to it. There's not a lot of privacy inside of the sukkah. So that's going to prevent him from being the chatan that he wants to be. So that's what Rava says. That's why we don't do it in the sukkah. My benayu, what's the nafkamina? Do you know, benayu, the shchichi inche, the nafkamina ali lahotam. If you have a lot of traffic going by the sukkah, then according to mandar mishum yichud, according to abaye, no problem, let go. There's no issue anymore because yichud's gone. The mandar mishum tzar chatan iko, then it's even worse. He has no privacy in that situation. Tosafot here says something very interesting. He says, based on this, you cannot say birkat chatanim, you can't say sheva brachot, and you can't say the bracha of simcha b'me'ono, that you're in the midst of the simcha, the bracha that is associated with the sheva brachot. You can't say that unless you're in the house of the chupa, of the chatan. And the kala, it has to be the chupa. If you're somewhere else, you can't do it. That's what the Gemara says. There's ein simcha ela b'chupa. And based on that, Tosafot takes it very literally that you can't have sheva brachot, and you can't have simcha b'mono outside of that context. Obviously, we don't pass in that way, but Tosafot, taking the Gemara literally, says you can't have sheva brachot outside of the chupa. Amar Rabbi Zera. Ana achli b'sukkah b'chari b'chupa. I ate in the sukkah and celebrated in my chupa. I was able to accomplish both, okay? Toshken t'chadi libay. And now I was really happy. Gavin and Tarte. I got both mitzvot in. So you see over here this idea of the tzar and the happiness relating to the mitzvot themselves. And he says, I was able to accomplish both mitzvot. And that's what excited me. That's why I was even more happy to be a chatan at that time, because I got that mitzvah and I have the mitzvah of being celebrating. So now he says, Tarabanan, chatan vashush binim, v'chol b'nei chupa, turim min atfila, min atfilin, v'chayavim b'kriyat shma. The Tanakhama says that the chatan and the shush binim, and anybody who's involved in the chupa are patur mitfilah. They don't have to daven. Umin atfilin, they don't have to put on tfilin. V'chayavin b'kriyat shma. But they do have to say kriyat shma. Rashi explains why. He says that you have to put on no tfilah because you need kavana. And they're middle of partying over there. They can't take the time out to daven and to have kavana. Tfilin, shum the shchicha shichrut v'kalud rosh. Person can't bring themselves to this state of mind. They're celebrating, they're drinking. They can't bring themselves to the proper state of mind to put on tefillin. So that's why they're patur. Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah kavanatai lo pasuk rishon. It's only one pasuk. V'yicholim la'shiv datan shaktana. You can't get your act together for to say Shema Yisrael. That we can do. Tefillin or Tefillah, which are much longer engagements, there we don't obligate them to do it. Now, what from Rashi it sounds like is that this is a technical problem. It's not that you're Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Min HaMitzvah. It's simply that, in this case, you can't do it. You just can't accomplish it. Now we have the second statement. It's Meshum Rabbi Shila Amru, Chatan Patur, Vashush Benim, V'chol B'nei Chupak, Chayavin. They are all Chayavin. The Chatan is Patur, but everybody else is Chayav. Rashi says over here, V'leit Luhu Ahanei Tanei, Oseg Mitzvah, Poter Min HaMitzvah. The way the Rashi has the gear says Tanei. He says, these Tanaim do not have Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Both of them. That means both the Tanakama and Rabbi Shila both say that Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mitzvah does not apply. So here we have, these are the lone Tanaim that don't believe in this concept called Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Mitzvah, according to Rashi. And they believe, they argue about the technical patur. Who's granted this technical patur of not being able to engage in tefillin and tefillah? Rabbi Shila says it's only the Chatan, whereas the Tanakama believes it's everyone is granted that patur. Tosafot already takes issue with Rashi and says, no way, it's Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Min HaMitzvah over here. He says, B'kash, Adil Eilu, Imkein T'chayev Chatan B'sukah. Mashmat HaChatan Patur, Yoter Mita HaNakama. Kach Nirat Kasavar Chatan, Ein Yachol Lekavein Da'ato Klal. Filu Pasuk Rishon. V'shar B'nei Chupa, Yucholim Lekavein. Rabbi Yashmal Chudakai. Tosafot says that this argument, or Rabbi Shila, when they say this, is only a din in Kriyat Shema. U'bekulu Achrini Modi LeTanakama. Everything else he agrees with the Tanakama. Tosafot thought Rashi said only Rabbi Shila believes that Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Mitzvah doesn't exist. Truth is, if you read Rashi, it's talking about both of them. But Tosafot reads it, it's only referring to Rabbi Shila. He says, even that's wrong. He says, Rabbi Shila is only talking about Kriyat Shema. And this is a specific tour about Kriyat Shema. He agrees with the Tanakama that Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Mitzvah. And you see that Tosafot believes the Tanakama's tour is not like Rashi, but rather because Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Min HaMitzvah. And then Rabbi Shila comes along and says, I disagree about Kriyat Shema because that's easy enough, because the Chatan can't get his mind there. But other than that, I agree with you. Tosafot says it's this classic Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Mitzvah. There are others read this as being Rabbi Shila's opinion, not being like Rashi says, he doesn't believe in Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Mitzvah, but rather that the mitzvah's over. The mitzvah ends after he had Nisuin. Once you had the chuppah and the Nisuin, the mitzvah's done. Everything afterwards is a residual. So the chatan, who is the person engaged in the mitzvah, his patur extends afterwards, according to Rabbi Shila, according to Tanakhama, it doesn't. But the people who are accompanying them, they don't have any patur because the mitzvah is done. The nisuin was done. There's no longer a mitzvah. The simcha is the nisuin, is the chuppah itself, not the residual afterwards, the continuing parting afterwards. And according to that, Rabbi Shila says the chatan is patur and everybody else is chayav. And we would pass in the halacha that way because that is the truth. The chatan is patur because of tirda de mitzvah, of what he has to do afterwards. But everybody else is done with the mitzvah. The nisuin is done. They don't have a mitzvah anymore. And therefore, whatever they're doing now is reshut. And that's why they're chayav. And that's how some view this position, Rabbi Shila. If that's the case, then we do paskin halacha like Rabbi Shila, because chatan is patur, because he's still tir did a mitzvah, whereas the remainder of the party is not, because they're not engaged in a mitzvah anymore. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, kodvei sfarim, tfilin umezuzot, hein v'tagrehem v'tagrei tagrehem, v'chol oskim v'lechet shamayim. People who are engaged in v'lechet shamayim, meaning those are sofrei stam, who make things for people, they're middlemen, they're wholesalers, they're retailers. Anybody's involved in Melechet Shemayim, Lotuye Mochrei Tchilet, this includes people who are selling Tchilet for Tzitzit, Turim Mikriyat Shema Min HaTfilah O Min HaTfilenu Mokol HaMitzvot Amurot B'Torah. They are Patur, L'Kayim. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Gli, this upholds what Rabbi Yosef Gli says. Shei Rabbi Yosef Gli Omer Oseg B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. You're engaged in one mitzvah, you're Patur Min another mitzvah. So even though here this is their livelihood, despite the fact that it's their livelihood, they are still Oseg B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a distinction here that's a very important distinction that the Magen Avraham draws, which is that they are only patur in a mitzvah if someone comes to them and says, I need to fill in now, I need a mezuzah, I'm about to leave. So in that case, they write the mezuzah, they get engaged in it, and they skip Kriyat Shema, they skip everything, they're patur in a mitzvah. If the main reason that they're engaged in this mitzvah is for schar, is for their profit, then we're not going to say that. If they're writing the mezuzah because they're going to profit from the mezuzah, then the Magen Avraham believes that they don't have this patur. They have to say Kriyat Shema, they have to start for tefillah. It's all about the motivation. If it's motivating you is that someone else needs it, and therefore you've now been engaged in the mitzvah because someone else is depending on you, there you get the Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Mitzvah, even though you're going to get paid for it. But you still get the patur. But if your primary reason for engaging in this is because you need the schar, you're going to make money from it, then you don't have this din of Oseg B'mitzvah, Poter Mitzvah, because your primary motivation here is the profit or to make money, to make a living, not the engagement in the mitzvah. So that's an important distinction drawn by the Magen Avraham that the Mishnah Berurah brings down as well, that you have to make that distinction within or with regards to Sofrei Stam. Okay, we'll stop over here.